Amen. Good morning. Good to see you guys. How good it is to be together. We're going to continue in worship. We are in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is going to talk about God's judgment. We've heard the beautiful teaching. Then we saw his great authority backing up that teaching, great authority to cast out demons, to heal diseases, to command the weather, to feed people, to bring life. Today we're actually going to talk about fire and brimstone, the wrath of God, the judgment. Let's stand and read this together. It's a little bit of overlap, first three verses from last week. Jesus is talking about the people who have rejected the gospel, rejected the good news, and the judgment that's coming. So Matthew chapter 11 and verse 16. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where it had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Father in heaven, thank you we can come before you and we can sing our praises and bless you, Lord. Who are we that we could bless you? We are your redeemed, and we believe in your salvation, your grace and mercy. It gives us the confidence and the joy, Lord, in worshiping you. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us now through your word. Help us to understand. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, thinks you're far away, not even sure if you're there, Lord, give them ears to hear. We pray you would speak to them. Lord, the rest of us, revive us with confidence in your love, with compassion for the lost. We can see the world the way you see it. And Lord, with zeal to keep pressing on, to know you, to make you known, to see you magnified as we sang. Lord, revive us, we pray in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes you have to make a decision. If a guy asks a girl to marry him, there might be some discussing, might be some persuading, but at some point she has to say yes or no. Someone offers you a job, you might do a little negotiating, but there will come a point you have to say yes, yes or no. Someone offers you $1 million. You say yes or no. 20 years ago, Grigory Perelman turned down the Fields Medal, which is given every 4 years for mathematics. It's up there with a Nobel Prize. Turned down $1 million. He said, you guys are corrupt. He said no. He made this decision. If you're voting for president, you have to make a decision. You might decide not to vote, but you have to decide. If two kingdoms are at war, sometimes you might want to be neutral. Sometimes if it's a civil war, if it's a rebellion, you have no choice but to make a choice. You have to choose one side or the other. Jesus here has drawn a line in the sand. He's saying, you are either with me or against me. And he doesn't just say, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, rejoice. Believe, trust God. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Repent. Stop sinning. Repent and believe the good news. And if you don't repent, he talks about the judgment that's coming. And it's not something the world likes to hear. We need to repent. It's not our fault. We're victims. Don't tell me I'm a sinner, that I'm facing judgment. He told his disciples, when it talks about Jesus, when it sums up all of his teaching in one sentence, he said that in Matthew 4, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent, believe the good news. And he talked with them about sin, right? About you can't even look at a woman, you can't even be angry with your brother. There's hellfire, there's the judgment of God. He says, repent if you're lying and you're lusting and you're oppressing and you're stealing. Trust in God, turn to God. Well, and that's also what he told his disciples to preach when he sent them out. He sent them out to preach. And he said, if that town doesn't accept it, their dust is not worthy of your feet. You shake the dust off your feet. And now he talks about the judgment that's coming. And it is severe. Next week, he's presenting the two results. Today it's judgment. Next week, a much longer passage with more examples, talks about the salvation, the peace, the redemption. Pastor Philip will talk about that, but today we're actually talking about God's judgment, and we are not ashamed of God's judgment. We're not ashamed of his holiness. The Bible says his holiness is a consuming fire. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. He can make it possible for you to walk through the fire and not be burned, because he himself, he is the Holy One of Israel. His holiness is a consuming fire. If I ran track and cross country in high school, If I went to the Olympic tryouts, I wouldn't last a second. Don't have any chance at all. I want to stand in the presence of a holy God. His holiness is a consuming fire. I need his salvation in order to do that. And he says he will give it to us. He will. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They did this. They were exiled to Babylon. And the Nebuchadnezzar said, you bow down to my idols. And they said, no. He says, if you don't, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. They said, whether we should obey God or you do what you have to do. We cannot bow down. And he threw them in the fire, and they came out, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Salvation means that we can walk through fire. Meaning we can stand in God's presence. His holiness is a consuming fire. How do you do that? First, very simply, turn from the ways of this world and obey God. That means repent. The world doesn't like to hear this. And first, Jesus talks about there are some who will never be satisfied, no matter what God does. They are not going to turn to him and trust him. The whole message of the Old Testament ended in a crisis. Can God bless his people? And no matter what he did for them, they couldn't be satisfied. Here Jesus talks about no matter what God does, they're not going to listen. We played the flute for you. You didn't dance. You're like children in the marketplace. You didn't want to play with a flute. You didn't want to pretend to have a tragedy. You're not going to be happy, no matter what we do. John came with his austerity and severeness, and they said he has a demon. Jesus came with saying, "I came for the sick. I came to bring life." They said, "Oh, he's a drunkard." They are not going to be happy. Why? Why in the Old Testament, no matter how much God blessed his people, no matter how much he provided for them, he delivered them again and again, they're like, no, they're not going to be happy. The Bible says it's the mystery of iniquity. They just don't want God. They don't want the offer of life that he gives. John the Baptist came preaching the same thing. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. I'm baptizing you with water, but one's coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. And he's going to gather the grain into the barn, and the rest he's going to burn with unquenchable fire. Do you know how a farmer winnows grain? He takes it. We don't see it anymore. We saw it when we lived in China all the time. He takes a pile of grain, throws it in the air with his winnowing fork, and the wind blows away the chaff, and the good stuff falls back down. So Jesus is like taking the crowds of people with his teaching. He's throwing the people in the air. Some of them come down and say, we're going to stay with you. We're going to listen. And the rest just get tossed away. So some people will stubbornly not repent. But understand here, the message is, repentance means I can walk in fire. So like if you talk to someone about the gospel and it says you got to repent of your sins, that means, don't you want to be able to walk in fire? Don't you want to be able to stand in the presence of a holy God and not be ashamed? That's what repentance means, to be able to be in God's presence. But many people, stubborn complacency. God hates complacency. It says in Zephaniah, he's going to search Jerusalem with lamps and find the men who are complacent and punish them severely. We are to be seeking God, searching, asking, knocking, feeling our way to him, trying to find him. I want to know the holy God. So to those who don't repent, what does Jesus say? Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Chorazin, Bethsaida was the hometown of four of his disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And Chorazin was about 2 miles away. If the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Tyre and Sidon are on the border of the northern part of Israel. And they weren't necessarily hostile to Israel, but they were idolatrous. Jesus talks about it's going to be more tolerable for them than it was for you. Do y'all know about the fall of Satan? Jesus, the Bible compares Tyre to the fall of Satan. Do you know when Satan fell? Before Satan fell, where was Satan walking? You were an anointed guardian cherub. You were in Eden. I place you in Eden. You were the guardian cherub in Eden. God here is comparing the Tyre to their idolatry to the fall of Satan, that they were wealthy, they were successful, and because of that pride, they said, we don't need God. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. So God had created Satan. Satan was in God's presence. Talks about, if you read the whole passage, every precious gem was his covering, the topaz, the emerald, the ruby covered Satan. He was beautiful. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Satan became jealous of God's authority. Adam and Eve in the garden said, we want the authority. We want to know good and evil. Satan, when he fell, it might have been then when he tempted Adam and Eve, and he was cast from the mountain of God. Again, telling you that salvation means we can stand in the presence of God, whose holiness is a consuming fire. That's where Satan was before he fell. Chorazin and Bethsaida, they're not interested. Now understand, they had seen God's power. Jesus did most of his miracles in this area. They saw Jesus healing people. They saw him cast out demons. They saw his tremendous authority. They said, yeah, we're not interested. They reject it, and so he pronounces this harsh judgment on them. To whom much is given, much is expected. They had been given a tremendous amount of evidence, and they had the scriptures, and they said no, so he pronounces judgment. Now, if that were to apply to us today, there are people who willfully say no. No matter what God shows me, no matter what I see, I will not believe. They willfully choose to believe a lie. I've been persuaded by many, many, many scientists. The evidence for creation, for God doing the creating, is absolutely overwhelming. The evidence against evolution is overwhelming, but they choose to believe a lie. We see it in the treatment of you got to go one way or the other, right? You can't be neutral. You're either going to love God or you're going to hate him. The sanctity of life, right? One side is going to say, no, we are going to terminate the life of unborn children. We're going to do it by the millions. The Bible says these are every person alive, created in the image of God. We talk about the sanctity of sex. Now, people who say, we are going to give hormone blockers to children. We're gonna gaslight them with confusion. I'm just saying the battle lines are becoming clearer and clearer in our culture. And there's a harsh rejection of God. Good news. We're made to walk in fire. Jesus will baptize us in fire. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, though it perishes, gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where God wants to take us. He wants to take us to his presence. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So, these cities, these people that have seen so much of Christ's authority and heard his teaching, he says, judgment is coming. But understand something else. Salvation also begins with a woe. Jesus says, woe to these cities who've rejected. What did Isaiah say when he saw God in his temple? He came into the temple, he saw the cherubim flying around, covering their faces with wings and covering their feet with wings, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the foundations of the temple shook and was full of the Shekinah glory. What did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And the angel brought some coals from the altar and placed it on his lips and said, you're atoned for. What did the people? And then Isaiah, later, he gives the most beautiful pictures of heaven. The lion shall lie down with the lamb, and the bear will lie down with the young ox, and a little child shall lead them. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What starts with woe is me, what starts with fear, ends in joy every time. When we lived in China a couple of times, we went took the boys to Thailand, Cambodia. We went ziplining. Anybody here been ziplining? You guys been, you like ziplining? Are y'all with me? Okay. Let's talk about ziplining a second. When we drove up into the jungle hills of, I remember particularly in Cambodia, got out of the car, climbed up on the platform, about 60 feet above the ground, in the jungle. Matthew saw what we were about to do, and he almost threw up. It was so terrifying. Jeremiah was like, not going to do it. It's terrifying, right? But they took him for a real short little test run. Say, look, you are safe. This cable is really strong. And you're just what? You're barely 100 pounds. And this harness is strong. You are safe. You will not fall. We promise you, you're not going to fall. And then, you know, I'm going on 200 pounds, right? And they saw Paul zip across the jungle, 60 feet above the ground. They said, okay, maybe we can try it. And they tried it. They realized they're safe. And within 10 minutes, they're screaming with joy, trying to go upside down, trying to spin around while they're in terrifying Melissa, right? Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You start off, there is a woe is me. I cannot be in the presence of a holy God. But then he says, I've redeemed you. I've paid for your sin. You are safe. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. I will bring you to heaven. You are safe with me. And we realize that. And in his presence, we can have joy. Isaiah started with fear, ended with joy. What did the Israelites, when they came to Mount Sinai, they told Moses, you go and talk to them. We don't want to go near him lest we die. They were terrified. The mountain was trembling. He said, we don't even want to touch it. You go talk to him, come back and tell us. Moses said, I tremble with fear. Yet, when he would come out of God's presence, his face would be glowing. And what started with fear ends, he gives them a land flowing with milk and honey and gives them strength and gives them blessing and gives them healing and protection and a picture of what God could do. Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a great vision of God coming on storm clouds surrounded by lightning, on a flying chariot carried by these creatures with six wings covered with eyes. They had four faces, and above them was a sea of glass. And then the chariot itself was glowing, and he goes to describe God. He says his feet, his legs were like burnished bronze, and he gets up, and it's just fire. And he says he falls to the ground like a dead man. But God lifts him up, and by the end of the book, shows them a picture of heaven, the holy city. And the name of the city is God is there. Again, it begins in woe is me. It ends in joy. What's the first thing Peter said when Jesus said, hey, throw your net on the other side of the boat? Lord, we've been fishing all day. Just try throwing the other side of the boat. He did. He took in so many fish. What did Peter say? I'm a sinner. Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Woe is me. One more. At the very end, the book of Revelation, John's an old man living in exile. He has a vision of God, and he says, woe is me. Jesus lifts him up, gives him a vision of the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more death. It'll be joy. We have a kingdom that can't be shaken. And when God says he wants us to repent, it means he wants us to be able to stand in his presence and to admit that we're sinners. And yes, it is my fault. There's a lot of things that aren't my fault, but I do things I know I shouldn't do. I don't do things that I know I should do. I can't blame God. I can't say, it's your fault I just lied. Your fault I just got angry at this person and cursed. God, you created me. It's your fault. I'm a sinner. It's my fault. I did it. And God says, I created you. I love you. I will take the blame completely. I will take the blame and give you life, salvation. And you don't owe me. You're not obligated. I give it to you freely. And we give him back praise. So Jesus says, woe to these cities. We say, woe is me. Actually, there's one more. Let's talk about Capernaum. Capernaum's like his adopted hometown. You will be exalted to heaven. You'll be brought. You will not be. Will you be exalted to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to Hades. If the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Because you have seen God's glory and heard his teaching and rejected him, you are facing judgment. You can't be neutral. You can't be passive. Come to him and say, yes, Lord, I want life. Sodom's sin, according to Ezekiel, it started with neglecting the poor, oppressing the poor. Oh, we deserve what we have. But then it leads to sexual indulgence, perversion, and God rained down judgment on them. But he says, Capernaum, your sin is worse than theirs. The Bible makes it clear, in hell there will be degrees of punishment. In heaven there will be degrees of reward. But he tells Capernaum, because of your complacency, because of your lackadaisical attitude, yeah, we're not interested. Judgment is coming on you. Now, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, right? No pleasure at all. We take great pleasure in it, right? We love to watch movies and TV shows where the bad guy gets it, right? You're waiting the entire movie. Yeah, that guy got justice. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You remember Abraham asked God? God said he was going to bring judgment on Sodom. Abraham said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, won't you spare that city? You won't bring judgment on that city if there's 50 righteous people. A city that had at least 30, 40, 50,000 people in that area. God says, no, I'll spare it for 50. Abraham says, please, I've spoken once. Let me just ask, what if there's just 5 less than 50? What if there's 45? God says, for the sake of 45, I won't destroy it. Abraham says, I'm sorry, Lord, I've asked, let me just ask once more. What if there's only 30 people? For the sake of 30, I won't destroy it. What if there's only 20? For the sake of 20, I won't destroy it. God does not want to bring destruction. What if there's only 10 people? God says, for the sake of 10, I won't destroy it. There weren't 10 people. There was Lot. He told his daughters, sons-in-laws, we got to get out of here. God's judgment is coming. His sons-in-laws thought he was a religious kook. Oh, you're one of those guys. But he brought his daughters out. God rained down judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But Jesus says it'll be worse for these guys who are complacent. So we're accountable for what we know. And we're accountable for repenting of our sin, right? I can point at a bunch of other people saying, oh, they're evil, they're wicked. It says, no, you deal with your heart in the presence of God. Now, next part's real quick. We boast in God's mercy. We testify. This is how I walk through fire and not be burned. This is how I can stand in the presence. He sent his disciples, you go and preach. When he healed people, he'd say, you go and tell what God has done for you. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to testify. You're going to share the good news. King David in Psalm 40 says, I've told the good news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your faithfulness and your salvation from the great congregation. He says it like five times in a row. We're tempted to say, oh yeah, I'm actually a good guy. I'm strong. The reason I'm prosperous and healthy is because I'm a great. No. It's because of God's grace, God's mercy in my life. I'm going to boast in him, boast in his goodness, testify to him. God told his people, you set up memorial stones, you establish feasts, you remember and you testify and you tell people. In Israel, he told them, you set up these stones, you have these feasts, and when your son asks you, what's the meaning of this? You testify, you tell him, we were helpless slaves and God delivered us. That's what we do, we testify. How's your story? How's your story of God's deliverance? And let me just end here. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What's the problem with the living sacrifice? Most sacrifices, they kill it and then throw it in the fire. But if it's alive and you throw it in the fire, you keep wanting to get out of the fire. Jesus says, you stand in the fire. You just stay there. Let yourself be purified. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When Ezekiel had the vision of God, and he described the storm clouds and the chariot and the creatures carrying it, and he described God, he described God's legs, and then when it came to describing God, he gave up. He said, this is something of what the glory of God is sort of like. It's the best he could do, and he fell to the ground. And then what happened? God spoke to him. The fullest revelation. If we want to know God, we listen to his word. We let his word transform our minds. We let his word cleanse our minds, transform us. And that's being in his presence. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you make it clear. Judgment is coming. You are going to bring judgment to this world. And it will be awful. There will be fire and brimstone. There will be hell to pay. But Lord, your desire is to bring salvation. Your desire is to give life. Lord, we pray if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't turned to you, confess their sins and repented, Lord, that they would do that today. They would say, and I've heard and seen, I've tasted that God is good. I want to trust him as my heavenly Father. Lord, give us wisdom in proclaiming your holiness, your goodness, and that your desire, Lord, is for us to be in your presence, the presence of a God whose holiness is a consuming fire, Lord. You want to give us hearts of gold. You want to make us strong. Lord, may we be a people who abide in your word, meditate on your word. Lord, who confess our sins, who regularly come before you, daily confessing our sins, that we could be cleansed, that we could have confidence in your mercy, that we could mature. Lord, be glorified in your church. We pray in Jesus' name. By the way, I have some pamphlets. We have one at rack out there for how to pray. Sometimes you come before God to confess my sins. I want to be cleansed. Don't know exactly what to pray. These are just some suggestions to think about because we want to be in his presence with joy. Amen? Amen.